spare change. He wants your best. So we ought to begin praying, Lord, make me willing to give my all, no matter the cost. And so we need to be waiting to serve him the best that we can. You ought to also be willing, as verse 3 goes on to say, while he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. So we ought to be asking, am I not only waiting, looking for those opportunities, am I willing? Am I willing to serve Jesus? So think, because of the hot and dry climate, it was the custom of the day to anoint the head with oil, especially the head of a guest who might come. But this wasn't Mary's purpose. Mary anointed Jesus herself, because a servant would have been the one who would have usually done that as a guest came into the house. It would have been one of the lowly hired servants that would have done that anointing. And Simon, owning his own home that was large enough to entertain so many guests, he certainly would have had servants. Mary wasn't a servant. She wasn't one of the heads of the household. Mary wasn't just anointing to fulfill a custom of the day. Her purpose was much greater than that. So Mary took the most precious thing that she had and she gave it to Jesus in the most significant way, in an act of anointing. Now, that oil used for anointing the head cost only a mite, the smallest coin in circulation, but not the oil that Mary used. So the normal anointing oil, if somebody would have came in, would have been the cheap stuff, if you will. But the oil that she brings in, the precious perfume that she brings in, cost about 300 denarii per flask, per bottle. It was an oil that would be used by kings, and they used it only drop by drop. You know, when you buy expensive perfume, you don't just slap it all on, pour it all out over your hands. You just use a little dab, a little drop. That's kind of the expense here of this perfume here. The denarii was the average day of the average pay for a day's work. And a bottle or flask of that type of perfume would contain somewhere in the neighborhood of about 12 ounces and would cost, as we said, a year's salary for an average worker. It was an expensive offering that she gave to the Lord. Now, think about spikenard is what it's called here, this flask of ointment, this alabaster flask, it's spikenard. It would have been imported probably from a place like India. A whole jar would have cost the equivalent there of that annual income. So Mary, she gave lavishly. She gave lovingly. She was not ashamed to show her love for Jesus Christ openly. Now notice Mark uses two adjectives to describe this particular anointment. He uses one word, which literally means genuine, there. It was here, ointment of pure nard. It was genuine. So that's one of the words. It lets us know that this isn't some kind of blue light special, if you will. It was the real thing. You know what Mary was doing? She was giving the very best that she had to Jesus. For us to reach the place of brokenness, we have to be willing to give our best, to give our all. And not all of us can give the same thing to Jesus. Not all of us have the same kind of money. Not all of us have the same kind of abilities. Not all of us have the same kind of intelligence. Not all of us have the same kind of skills. But every one of us can give our very best to Jesus. So understand this. Jesus doesn't grade us on the curve. God doesn't compare us with Joe over here or Mary over here. Your best may not be as much as somebody else's best. But if you give your best to God, then as far as God is concerned, your best is best. If you're willing to serve Jesus, and understand, it will cost you, because after all, if you're going to offer Jesus that which costs you nothing, then you'd be better off offering nothing at all to him. So that's our second point, that we need to be willing. We need to be waiting, we need to be willing, and we need to be wanting. So notice again, the verse 3 again, and you notice the ending part there, that she broke the flask. and poured it over his head. And then you go on to verse 4. And verse 4 says, there were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? For with this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they scolded her. And then verse 6, but Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. So the question we're asking here is, am I wanting to serve Jesus? You know, one of the things we ought to be praying in God to break us is to make our want-tos his want-tos. Notice how Mary gave the gift to Jesus. She didn't just hand it to him. She broke the neck of that flask. It shattered. She poured the whole bottle on his head and on his feet. Why? What was Mary doing? Understand this. Mary's anointing of Jesus was a selfless act. It was a costly act. It was an act of love and faith in the Lord Jesus. Very simply put, Mary anointed Jesus to show him how deeply she loved him and believed him to be the true Messiah, the anointed one of God. He was her Savior. He was her Lord. He was her King. He had done so much for her and for her family, and she wanted him to know just how much she appreciated him, how much she loved him and believed him. Mary also sensed something within Jesus, as we said, a preoccupation of mind, a heaviness of heart, a weight of a tremendous pressure. And her heart is reaching out to him and wants to encourage him and to help him. You know, being a young woman in the presence of so many men, she wasn't allowed to vocally express herself that much. So it was a privilege that wasn't allowed of women in that day. So she did all that she could. She acted. She got up, she went for the most precious gift she could think of, this most costly bottle of perfume, and she gave it to him in such a way that he would know that at least one person who was there truly loved him and believed in him to be the Messiah. And it was her hope was that such worship and such faith and such love would boost his spirits. You know, true love is selfless and costly. True love forgets self and pays whatever the price is necessary to demonstrate one's love. You know, true love gives its most precious possession. True love is being all that we ought to be, changing, repenting to become the person God wants us to be, giving our most prized possession, surrendering all that we have and all that we are and all that we are that he gives us and that we are to him, going wherever we can to share his love, serving wherever our love can be most effective, that we can make the greatest impact for his kingdom. And so Mary here, she's thinking only of Jesus when she breaks that bottle and pours that perfume all over his head. And before the last drop had hit the floor, she has to withstand a blast of critical fire from a hypocritical furnace. You may as well understand, if you serve Jesus Christ, no matter how pure your motives are, people are always going to complain. They're always going to gripe. They're always going to criticize. If you're ever going to get anything done in your life that's going to make a difference for someone else, you're going to be criticized. And so the truth of the matter is this. The world thinks anything you do for Jesus is a waste. Think of the disciples here. The disciples, who are led by Judas here, criticize Mary for wasting her money. This isn't just Judas. This is a whole group of these disciples that are criticizing her for wasting her money. You know, from them, it sounded spiritual for Judas to talk about the poor, but in reality, he just wanted the money for himself. Even in the upper room, 6 days later, the disciples still thought Judas was concerned about helping the poor. You know, it's interesting that the word translated waste in Mark chapter 14 and verse 4 is the same word in John 17 verse 12 that's translated perdition when it's applied to Judas. Judas criticized Mary for wasting money. But what did Judas do? He wasted his whole life. So what disturbed the disciples was not the fact that Mary anointed Jesus. Anointing him was easy enough to understand. That was a common custom of the day. What disturbed them was the gift that she gave. To them, it seemed too costly, too sacrificial. It seemed to be a foolish, senseless act. It seemed misplaced and wasted. You know, there are always going to be those who feel that the believer's love and sacrifices go too far. You know, I've heard many people say before, you know, you can take that Christian thing a little too far. They feel like the commitment of life isn't necessary, that you don't, not to the extent at least of sacrifice. The commitment of money isn't necessary, not to the extent of tithing. Commitment of behavior isn't necessary, not to the extent of separation from the world. When you get right down to it, all that matters is what Jesus said. Look again there at verse 6. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." There's two evaluations on what Mary had done. One side said it was waste, it was poor judgment, it was too extravagant. Jesus said it was a good work. It's a beautiful thing she did. Here's what I want you to remember. What really matters about your life and about my life is not what others think. It's not what I think. What really matters is what Jesus thinks. No matter what others may say about our worship, no matter what others may say about our service, the most important thing is that we please the Lord. The fact that others misunderstand and criticize us ought not to keep us from showing the love of Jesus Christ. You see, our concern ought to be the approval of Jesus alone. The most significant person in Mary's life was the Lord. He was the Messiah. He was the Savior. He was the Lord of her life and her family. And she wanted to show him that he was deserving of all she was and all that she had. Adrian Rogers once said, "If you please Jesus, it doesn't matter whom you displease. But if you displease Jesus, it doesn't matter whom you do please." Nobody outside of that house knew what Mary had done. It didn't get her name in the paper. As a matter of fact, she got criticized by everybody except Jesus. What I love about Mary is that she was willing to do even the small things regardless of the criticism that she would have. You know, understand this. A church is built on people who are willing not just to do the big things, but to do the little things. There are a lot of people in the church who want to be the big dogs in the church. They want to be where the money is. They want to be where the power is. I'll tell you where the heroes are in the church. The heroes are the people who sit on the floor, who play with the little children in the nursery, who teach them their first song about Jesus. It's the men and the women who rock the babies in the nursery. It's the men and the women who serve as mentors to our young people, to our teenagers, to our children. It's those who are doing everything that they can by spending time with them beyond just Sunday, trying to guide them, trying to mentor them, help them to be all that God wants them to be. There was a man who was talking to a great big tall giant of a guy, and he said, "If I were as big and as tall and as strong as you are, I'd go out into the woods and look for the biggest bear I could find and wrestle him right down to the ground." That big man looked down at that little man and said, "Well, there's plenty of little bears out there in the woods." You know, we need to be what God wants us to be. We need to be wanting to serve him, wanting to express that love to him. But to do all of those, to be waiting, to be willing, to be wanting, we have to be broken. Before Mary ever got there that evening, she knew something was up. She was already broken in her heart. We need to be asking, am I broken to serve Jesus? Notice again verse 7 down through verse 9. He says in verse 7, "For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." So the question we need to be asking also tonight is, am I broken to serve Jesus? Jesus made a significant point that's often missed here. Opportunities come and opportunities go. And once they're gone for good. Mary would never have this opportunity again. Mary's demonstrated the difference. In verse 8, this is one simple statement Jesus made about Mary, speaks volumes about her. She has done what she could. It wasn't that what she did impressed Jesus, because what she did was not really that big of a thing. She poured some oil over his head. What really impressed Jesus was that she had done what she could. So understand, you only have one life, and it will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. The second story is right after the first story in the same book of the Bible. In this story, Jesus is having his last meal. He gathered together with his closest friends. He knows what's coming and that he's going to be giving his life on the cross. And this is how Mark tells the story. Same chapter, go down to verse 22. And in verse 22, it says, "And as they were eating, he took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly,' he says, 'I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" Notice what he did. What did he do in verse 22 down through verse 25, especially there in verse 22? It says, "And as they were eating, he took the bread, and after blessing it," what did he do? He broke it. He broke it. It's broken. What did he do with the cup that was there in verse 24? "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." So he broke it and poured out. Luke said this about it in Luke 22 and verse 19. He basically said the same thing. "He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all.'" So notice, Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, and he did what? He broke it. He broke it. He gave it to them. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And then he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." When we take the bread, when we take the cup, or we do this in remembrance of him, we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus by doing this. What if Jesus was ultimately saying, "Don't just do an act to remember, but may you also be broken and poured out. In fact, you must be broken and poured out." It's kind of like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. He said, "Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all." So notice, broken and poured out. God will break us. Being broken is not only just one moment, but it's an ongoing breaking that happens daily in our lives, that God breaks us because of our sinfulness. When he searches us, we're made aware of our sin, and it breaks our hearts. And he continues to teach you through all of that as he breaks us to depend upon him. You know, life's greatest breakings often lead to God's greatest blessings. Let me say that again. God's greatest breakings, life's greatest breakings, often lead to God's greatest blessings. Think about this. Peter, who said, "Jesus, I'll never deny you." What did he do? He denied Jesus three times. And on the third time, Jesus is looking at Peter, and Peter's denying him. And what happened to Peter? Peter broke, and he wept. Peter also, after he was forgiven by Jesus after the resurrection, Jesus chose him to preach on that day of Pentecost. That was pretty big, because 3,000 people were saved that day. So think about that. Those whom God uses the greatest are often those who have been broken the deepest, because God never ever wastes a hurt. He never ever wastes a hurt. We need to pray, "Break me. Break my sin. Break me so that I can serve you, Jesus, with all of my life. I surrender it completely to you. You see, the gospel is an invitation to come and die, to die to self so that you can live for Jesus and Jesus can live through you. You see, when the sinful woman broke open the jar, she poured it all out, symbolizing, I'm giving you my whole life, broken and poured. When Jesus' body was broken, it was broken for you and it was broken for me. His blood was poured out that our sins might be forgiven. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. I can't prove it, but I believe it, that this doesn't just refer to the actual ceremony of the Lord's Supper there, the ritual, if you will, that this refers to let our lives be broken and poured out that we can serve Jesus with all of our hearts. We know that because there are other places in the Bible that tell us that we need to come before him with a broken heart. The reality is many of us, what I would call not fully devoted followers of Jesus, but partially devoted followers of Jesus, we do it when it's convenient for us. If you find yourself at any point being partially devoted to Jesus, let me encourage you to consider praying a very powerful prayer to God. God, break me so I could be fully dependent on you. Lord, whatever it takes, I want to know you intimately. I want to serve you faithfully because I trust you. Lord, do whatever it takes. Break me that I could know you. Think about it. Jesus sat around his best friends. And he lifted up the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. You remember that lady who just broke this alabaster flask? This is my body that's broken for you. With only a matter of hours, that's exactly what was going to happen. Jesus' body was broken. He held up a cup and he said, this is my blood spilled out for you, poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus shed his blood that we could live. You see, here's the amazing thing, and I hope you recognize this. Without Christ, you're broken already. We're broken without Christ. We're a broken people. I mean, look at your life. You make sinful decisions. Why? Because we're broken people. We need Jesus, and we need to pray. Lord, we need your grace. Lord, we need your forgiveness. Lord, I surrender my life to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus' broken body. Thank you for his poured out blood. And Father, I pray that you would forgive us. Lord, as you forgive us, forgiving you less than our best. Father, I pray that you would break our pride. Lord, that you would break our sin, that you would break our self-reliance, that you would make us fully devoted to you. Lord, give us the courage to serve you. No matter the cost or the criticism, let our lives count for you and your glory. Lord, help us to give our very best to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining with us here tonight, and hopefully you received a blessing from Sunday night as well as tonight. If you didn't get to watch Sunday night, I encourage you to go back and watch that one that says, Search Me. This one's entitled, Break Me. And so I want to encourage you to read both of those passages once again and let the Spirit speak truth into your heart. So thank you for being with us tonight. We'll be back this coming Sunday. It's our 75th anniversary celebration. Saturday night is the music concert from Providence Baptist Church. I won't be here for that, but want to encourage you to be here as you're going to receive a wonderful blessing. Pastor Matt's going to be here to introduce them for me on my behalf. So just want to encourage you to be here for that. And then on Sunday, we'll have our regular Sunday morning Sunday school and then service at 10:30. So join us if you can online for any of those. And then later that afternoon, we're having our fellowship get together cookout. Want to encourage you to come, hamburgers, hot dogs, all the fixings, baked beans, some of those things to go with it. And then we're also providing the ice cream toppings. We're just asking you to bring some homemade ice cream. But we'll see you this coming Sunday, 10:30 for our worship service. They're online, 9:15 for Sunday school. You have a blessed week, a safe week. We'll see you this coming Sunday.